Hello, this is Mark Dennison. I'm the Nottingham Forest Stadium announcer, and you're listening to the Forest North America Fancast.
Welcome to the Forest North America Fancast, giving you club news, game results and previews, interviews with Nottingham Forest Football Club North America chapters.
And he goes for goal and finds it! That is stunning from Joe Lolley!
Find the Forest North America Fancast on Twitter, at Forest Fancast. Have questions for the team? Hit us up on the Forest Fancast hotline at 601-308-1865.
Yeah, so Forest are taking a bit of a...
What the hell's going on?
A south turn. God.
The team bus just drove into the Trent.
Mental.
Well, I mean, look, we experiment with a couple things this season, right? I mean, it just happens. They say, hey, all right, we brought these people in. We're going to have to play them and let's see what happens. And it sure didn't work out.
Experimenting with being shit. Okay, so we tried that. Didn't like it.
We don't like that. Let's go back. Can we go? Let's go back.
Big game on Wednesday, Corey, mate.
Yeah, it's a big one. What are you talking about?
Toronto FC Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous. I don't know if I want Michael Bradley to lose more than I do Bob Bradley.
The Bradley.
I can't stand Bob Bradley. And I mean, it's like the entire country is behind LAFC. It's nauseating. Yeah.
My favorite part of the whole Bob Bradley saga is when he went to England and pretended to try and be a manager.
Oh, shit. That's what he wanted.
Yeah. And was it Everton as well? Was it just
was he? I don't know.
But either way, he came across. Have you guys seen, I think it's Fox, they do that comedy segment with the guy who
is
Tottenham.
It's Bob. Bob, it's Beb Bradley or Brad Bobley. Brad Bobley, isn't it?
And that was totally his career. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. All right, guys, check it out. We're back on the podcast air. It is the Forest Fancast. Welcome to episode 12 of the Forest Fancast. We dug deep for content this time because really we only had, what, two matches, guys, to kind of go over a mud pit for the third. So we'll go over Wigan. We'll go over Hull City. That was an amazing match. We also are going to talk about the Reading reschedule and kind of how that's handled and how many times this has happened before that an entire pitch is unplayable. So I would like to hear from you guys how many times that's happened at maybe games you were going to and how bad it sucked that they could not play, right? Jordan has an NFF CNA update. But first...
Oh, he's been practicing.
So we've got a new segment we're going to launch, and this is kind of a quick hitting news segment or a fun news segment for Forest fans. It is called WTF, What the Forest.
What the Forest?
What the Forest? My first one came out today. It's the news that Alexander Milosevic has been released by Forest. They've agreed to terminate the contract by mutual consent. And that doesn't bode well for my best 11 that I picked a few podcast episodes ago. I've lost my centre back, and real shame to see him go. Like the reaction on Twitter has been very similar to me. Really, it's a bit of a one confusion, but then when you dig into it, there's probably a few things at play there as we go through. So I'm going to do a bit of a quick run through my experience with Alexander Milosevic at Forest. So
let me guess, yep. you were on a train and you were drunk with him.
No, I've never actually met Milosevic, as much as I'd like to. But yeah, only played 12 games for us in the end. It seems like he played a lot more games than that when you think back about it. The highlight has to be the goal against Middlesbrough, where he absolutely Marco van Bastened it into the corner to make it 2-0 against Borough at the back end of last season. You know, he's not really been making the lineup and not been making the team. And when you think about it, left out for the majority of the time Martin O'Neill was here. Likewise, now Sabri Lamouchi's come in. You've got to think, whilst he has abundance of talent, clearly by being a Swedish international and playing fairly regularly for his national side, that has got to be something underneath it. And whether that's a attitude piece or other pieces like that that's really driving that, you've got to think about it. And I saw a couple of good comments as well on Twitter to say, hey, if he's going to sit there on good money, we're better off to terminate the contract and help him find another club than have someone else on the payroll. We already spoke about the large squad. And if those wages go towards a striker or, you know, an attacking player that I think we've been asking for since the start of the season, and we'll come to Rafa Mir's performances when we break down the matches, I think that, you know, it's a step in the right direction if, you know, he's out of favour with the manager, as much as it pains me to say it. But, you know, there's got to be something more going on there. And when I look at his, you know, history, this is the third time he'll move on a free transfer in the last kind of couple of years. Has never really stuck at a club for fairly long. Even when he was at Besiktas, you know, the club he's been at the longest, he went out on loan multiple times. So it strikes me as a bit of a, you know, when you investigate, a bit of a player that never could really stick around or show commitment to a team, or not quite fit in, which is a real shame given his huge talent. And there's going to be a team out there that gets a super talented centre-back. It's unfortunate it's not going to be us, but, you know, if he's out of favour with the manager and not really getting game time, it's a sorry goodbye.
Yeah, that's gutting, actually. I think he may end up down the other end of the A52, and that really would tick me off. So let's hope that doesn't end up being his new home, but definitely going to miss him.
What the Forest?
What the Forest? I have news of some backroom appointments. Forest announced Francois Modesto coming on board as the club's new technical director, and Jose Anigo, and I apologise to both those gents because I'm sure I butchered the pronunciation of their first and second names. Anigo coming on as head of international recruitment. Both these gents have background with Lamouchi, and Modesto apparently had an influence on the appointment of Lamouchi. So he actually was involved way back when. And I'm going to give props here to Paul Taylor, because I'm very much taking this from his Twitter feed. I was like, Twitter's our best friend right now. It's where we get all our news. Anyway, Modesto, like I said, had an influence in bringing Lamouchi into Forest to begin with. And his role moving forwards is going to be very much recruitment based. Apparently he has a very close relationship with Lamouchi, and he's going to be traveling to a lot of the games and certainly continental Europe, eyeballing players that could be a potential fit at the City ground. And Nigo was apparently involved very heavily in identifying both Samba So and Brice Samba as transfer targets. And of course, those are two players who have worked out very well for the Reds so far this season. So it sounds like he's going to be a good pickup as well. So a nice triumvirate there of guys who know each other, who have worked together, who have a great relationship and have already demonstrated their ability to bring top quality talent to Nottingham. So very excited by the team filling out those important roles and giving the manager some additional support to hopefully take us to that next level.
So I think just to add to that, I think we can anticipate now, if they're responsible for the two Sambas, that we're going to have many more Sambas coming through into the lineup. So Chris Samba is the one that immediately springs to mind. Cherno Samba, whether he comes out of retirement, maybe we'll have him joining the team. And he was a striker. So let's see which Sambas start to come through the lineup now in January, given those two signings we've had before.
I think if we picked up a few salsas too, that'd be awesome.
Salsas and sambas and silvers, get them all in.
What the forest?
Seriously, when your ace is in trouble, you don't jump all over him, right? And guess who didn't? Sabri Lamouchi issued a statement about Joe Lolley, basically telling everybody to chill the hell out, stating Lolley will make the difference for the Reds this season, so just be patient. Lolley has even been on social media, and he's not happy with himself. He's not quite sure what the deal is. Obviously, he wants to do better. And knowing his attitude, he's going to fix this, and he's going to come out like a bull in a china shop. So he's got 4 goals this season. He's on pace for about 10, right? That he did 12 last year. It's not that awful. Sabri went on to say, it's true. Ain't nobody like Joe Lolley.
Yeah, so. I mean, I agree with that to a certain extent. But by the same token, as far as this roster is concerned, at least, Lolly's a veteran now. And he's a star player, player of the season last year. He's one that we should be expecting big things from. And I think he has, generally speaking, underperformed this season. But good news is, we know there's more in the tank. Just expect to see it from him. Hopefully, we'll see the old Joe Lolley back in Forest Red here again soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone getting on his back on Twitter, Matt, is just ridiculous, though. I think it's just the most, like, we've We've only lost two games recently. Yes, we'll dive into them and they've not been ideal, but like to just get on one of our best players back. Yes, he's been underperforming, but you know, the last thing we need is to start, you know, accusing all our star players of awfully and then them wanting out. If you look back at the summer, we were all praying that he'd stay at Forest and, you know, we were doing everything we could to get him to stay. And as soon as he has a couple, you know, and if he starts the season but has shown glimpses of promise, you know, we jump on his back. It's not ideal.
What the Forest? Back to Sabri Lumushi. And back to another news article where he came out and talked about his objectives for his first season at the City Ground. And I don't know quite how far into his cheek his tongue was pushed, but I'm going to suspect it was almost through the cheek in that he said his primary objective this year was to last the entire season. And that seems very reasonable as Forrest had been going through managers like Dirty Underpants this last, 3 or 4 years in particular. So to hold on to Lumushi, regardless of where Forrest end up this season, I think would be a good thing. There's no danger this team's going to be fighting a relegation battle, he says, with his fingers crossed. So I think wherever else we end up this season, let's give this guy a chance to continue building the team. He's proven himself a very capable manager so far, and I don't think we should have any danger of him getting let go before the end of the season. You never know. You never know at the City Ground, but hopefully not.
What the Forest? The Samba effect continues. So we had some news this morning that came through on the social media that Matty Cash and Bree Samba will be in the club shop signing autographs on Wednesday between 1 and 2pm. I think if we were to pick the two pod favourite players, I think these would be the two. Obviously, I've not been very shy in my appreciation for Bree Samba, and likewise Mark with Cashy Matt as a former manager. Montagnier mentioned him in an interview once. But yeah, really great that those two are taking the time out to meet with the fans. And if anyone's willing to sponsor some flights from Toronto to Nottingham to leave Tuesday night to get me there on Monday, I'd happily accept them to meet my man Samba. So yeah, hope those in Nottingham can make the trip and get to meet them.
I bet the line is out the door like it's kit release day.
It can't be coincidental that they've been the favourites on the pod and those are the two the club chose.
They're listening.
They must have heard from us. They must have heard from us. And as far as Matty Cash is concerned, there's only one thing to say.
Cash back.
Oh, yes.
Love a bit of Partridge.
Oh, my God, Mark. That's priceless. What the Forest? Guys, we got a shout out. People are listening to the podcast over in England. Did you know that? I mean, our stats show it. People are listening. It's almost half of our audience is over in England. And apparently, we got a shout out from a Forest podcast called Forever Forest. They gave us a listen, apparently. They just released their first pod of the season. So definitely go check it out. It took forever to get their latest episode out. Ha ha.
There he is.
There it is. But look,
what do you want? Do you want quality or quantity?
Well, we do both.
About to say.
We do both. And honestly, they gave us a nice shout out. And I just want to let them know we're spread out all over North America. We're just not up in T-Town in Toronto, not just in Canada.
While we're giving shout outs to people in England, I want to give a quick shout out to one of my favorite Forest forums, forestfans.net. I've been on that forum now since I've been in the United States, and they've been a great resource to me in kind of staying close to all things Forest and occasionally providing live streams through the forum, which I'm sure are entirely illegal, but do appreciate that, guys, nonetheless. And went ahead and posted out about our podcast on that forum last week and got some really nice feedback as well from some of the lads in England that took a listen. So forestfans.net, another good resource for you. Go check it out.
Just back to the Forever Forest lads. Really appreciate Alan and Steve taking the time to listen to us and giving us the shout out. It's a shame not to meet them in Portugal when I was there for the Europa League. And I think it was Alan actually posted a little picture of me because he spotted me in the... at the final with Portugal against the Netherlands wearing my Forest shirt. Sorry I wasn't listening to him when he was shouting my name, apparently. But hopefully get to see them at some point in the future. And, you know, I was a big listener of their podcast last season, and that was one of the reasons why I kind of jumped in when Corey and Mark offered up the spot on this podcast. So, thanks guys for what you did, and look forward to your next podcast.
I think we would all be remiss if we did not bring up the English rugby team.
Swing low, sweet chariots. Come on, Jordan.
Yeah, it was all right. Like, I'm not a huge rugby fan, but lads,
I'm not either.
Met it.
Mate, they stuff the All Blacks.
But yeah, they stuff the All Blacks. It's
monumental.
It is monumental.
4 a.m. in the morning.
That's like Forest taking down Liverpool, which I'm old enough to remember the days when we could do that. But 4 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, I will be there with a beer. Come on, England. I was there on my couch when they last won the World Cup against Australia in Oz, and it brought tears to my eyes.
Wow.
The first time I'd seen England win a World Cup of anything. So fully behind the boys. Let's get it done. It does crack you up when you watch rugby and you see these guys beating like 20 barrels of shit out of one another. Really going for it. And they get up and, there was that footage online this week of some guy knocking back, I think it was his own shoulder, his dislocated shoulder back into the socket. And then you see football players, they get their tattoos tapped, the lightest brush, and they go down with all four limbs going in different directions. I'm like, get a grip. It does embarrass you somewhat.
Jordan, I was sitting on the couch and I had the replay on. I found out that they beat the All Blacks and I was like, well, that's pretty significant. I don't think they've beaten them in 20 or 30 years. I don't know how long it is, but it's a long time.
Never in a World Cup.
Never, no. And so they started it off, and I love how they do the haka. I mean, it's tradition, and they do it, and it's pretty impressive, right? It's especially impressive. You see them do it in New Zealand. It's pretty crazy. But the English team, instead of just sitting there turning their backs on them, they did this V and like almost surrounded them, and it was fantastic. And I was like, this has a little bit different vibe than in past. Yeah, so
it's a shame our listeners can't see Jordan before every recording because he does his own little hacker for Corey and I.
Just a quick question, lads. I think this could be quite fun. Which Forest players could play rugby? If you think about the absolute units that have played for Forest.
Jason Lee.
Jason Lee, Sambaso. I've gone George Ellacobe or Mikel Antonio. Like, we could have some...
Oh, Mikel Antonio, for
sure. We could have some cannonballs that if we were to make a Forest 15, I reckon we'd have some absolute weapons that would play. Like, I think Vladimir Stojkovic would go like a maniac and tackle like anyone. He'd be a good flanker.
We'd Kevin Campbell. Really,
Kevin Campbell, okay. Yeah, did you say that, Corey? Good lad.
I did.
who's been like a really pacey guy who could be on the wing?
You'd have your Antonio. I mean, Mikel Antonio
was... I reckon that's a good little task to think about, isn't it? Our Forest 15.
We included rugby in hopes to get better SEO for the podcast this week.
Well, let's throw in NFL then. Who could play NFL? Ben Watson, quarterback. Yeah.
We're trending, guys. We are trending. Okay, let's get into the mess that was the match that I was told to give the big review on, and that would be Reading. It didn't happen because of a swamp-like condition on the field. So the City Ground got a lot of rain, and Mark, you're from up that way, so the Midlands traditionally gets a lot of rain, right?
Bloop, 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 bloop,
yeah, right? Bloop, 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 bloop. So how often do you remember it being shut down and games are postponed? Is this common?
Not recent times. I remember it a lot when I was a nipper. I remember seeing images of it, and I don't know why that is. I don't know if there have been renovations to the ground or changes in terms of like slope elevation on the banks. I mean, I don't know if any work's been done there, but certainly it's not been commonplace. I do remember a few years back there being issues with snow because you get, three flakes of snow in England and the whole country shuts down.
Same in Florida.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm sure Jordan's going to speak to this because he likes to keep people honest on Twitter. And so I can see him smirking already. So I'm way too deeply into his waters other than to say, people, get a grip. Seriously, the reaction. Jordan, I'll hand it over.
Yeah, so I think the last time we had a postponed game was Barnsley at home in April 2018, which again was due to rain. But yeah, I can't remember much before that. The only other one would be, I remember us getting postponed at halftime against Leicester in the League Cup a few years ago where Clark Carlisle had his heart attack at halftime. But yeah, it doesn't happen very often. And I think we had undersaw heating fitted a few years ago.
Yeah, there was a frozen game, I remember, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of many
but
others.
People's reactions to it, as if we've had two games now. It's like Lamouche. He went to leadership at Forest and went, "All right, lads, look, we've had two games that I win now. We need to slow the tide a little bit. So let's go ahead and put Reading on the back burner. What excuse can we come up with?"
It's not as bad as Derby, though. Remember when they cancelled that game for snow against Cardiff, like last season or the year before, and there's no snow? Like the most ridiculous one ever.
Derby ground staff are incredible because they could cancel just about every home game because the field's covered in shit.
That's shit number two for you. That's a lot of bleeping so far, Cora.
I'm going to leave that one in there.
But yeah, like I think the most frustrating thing for me is it's been three Saturdays without Forest now. I've been starting to get lost on Saturday morning. I don't know what I'm doing. Like I've been twiddling my thumbs on Saturday going, what the hell am I supposed to do? But I feel really sorry for those lads from Chicago. So Brian's brother and Jake came over to watch the game. But huge props to the Forza Garibaldi lads. I mean, we had Greg on the interview a couple of episodes ago now. But that session in Beer Keller looked phenomenal.
It did, didn't
all it? The tweets. I was looking from afar thinking, oh man, what I'd do to be there. Like, surely that's the best case scenario. You're there at 11 a.m. already planning a bit of a boozy day. Game gets called off. Football's not in the way of boozing anymore. Those lads must have been hungover at 6 p.m. getting an absolute riot.
That's when you get your second wind, isn't it?
Yeah.
Drink all day, you get your second. I remember that one time I went to London, went to Tottenham to watch Forest play. This is how long ago this was. Dean Saunders was leading the line for Forest. And I remember we got to London about 11 o'clock in the morning. No, about 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and absolutely belted it. And then went to the game and then carried on. And by about 9 o'clock at night, I was on my second wind, man. All the boys were under the table. I was like, come on, let's get the next round. Oh, it's cracking.
Yeah, so I'm yet to get confirmation if the Chicago boys actually got on their flight back to Chicago on Sunday. But, you know, looks like Brian and Jake were really welcomed. Shout out to Beer Keller for just giving them free steins all afternoon. So, you know, if they're anything like me, they'd have been a few deep by the time it became kind of midday. And I think they had a cracking week. So just shout out to everyone who's helped, you know, make their first experience in Nottingham as great as it was. You know, Mark Dennison, the Trust, the Forza lads for the event. You know, they met Gary Birtles and the chairman, Nick Randall, on the boozy Saturday too. So thank you to everyone for their hospitality, and I'm sure we'll do a little interview with them and to give their perspective on their trip in Nottingham.
And guys, yeah, before we just jump off of the Reading match, got to mention, so proud of Nottingham Forest, so proud of our club. It's actually made international news, actually. Obviously, with the game being cancelled, a lot of food would have gone to waste. The club went ahead and packaged up over 3,000 food parcels, which they reached out to a local charity, Framework, who help support the homeless and deliver housing, health, employment and support and other care services to people with a diverse range of needs. I'm reading here off the Nottingham Post website. And just made sure that food went to people who needed it and went out and worked with Framework to help deliver this food and get it out to people who needed it. So that was, oh man, that was so fantastic to see that.
Yeah, I think fantastic to see. And we know, we've mentioned it before, how a lot of good stuff is coming from the club off the pitch as well right now. And I think this is testament to those actions. And, you know, we hear that it came from, you know, the very, very top of the club, and CFO herself was, you know, handing out the food. So, you know, credit to them for waste not want not.
All right, guys. So let's get to the unfun part of this. Two straight losses. We're going to start with Wigan. Did we make a mere stake with the player selection?
Corey's now officially writing for The Sun, apparently.
Yeah. Well, wait till you hear mine in a minute. So we thought it was rain on Saturday, but in Wigan, that was a real quagmire.
thanks so much for listening. We'll be back perhaps next time.
So if we're not, if everyone's
giggity, giggity, giggity.
That's fantastic.
So we'll kick off by giving a bit of Wigan some praise. So I thought Jamal Lowe played really, really well. Forest target over the summer, scored his first goal against us classic after not scoring in like 10 games. And he seemed really confident after his goal. And their right back, Dern, was phenomenal. I thought he was absolutely brilliant, and Wigan kind of chopped us down. And then we come to Forest. We had the Manager of the Month award curse. So Sabri got his first proper loss, because we'll excuse the goalkeeping mistakes of the first loss there, and really got cursed. But God, it could have been about 4-0 at one point in time. Bruce Samba with some phenomenal saves. They hit the post off an amazing free kick from Mulgrew in the first half too. So it could have easily been 2-0 down. But as the game went on, I thought this was going to be a Lamucci classic Sabri shithouse Reds 1-1. We'll snaffle a point at the end. But we really struggled after the international break. Rusty performance. Rested players that hadn't played for a while, you know, the Bostocks, etc., that weren't up to speed. I thought Ribeiro looked lively. I thought the fans were phenomenal. 3,300, real shout for them. But the worrying thing for me, and, you know, we'll talk about it as we go through, is we're really missing Samba. So the amount of runners in midfield that weren't, you know, chased down or tracked back was astonishing. And Watson's not got the legs to do it, and he really needs that person next to him in midfield. And I think, you know, that'll be a similar story for you, Mark, as you go through the whole game. And Mir, oh man, he needs putting down like a horse, doesn't he? Because that was terrible.
It's pretty awful.
Mirich and Mir, what is it with these Premier League loanees? They are awful players right now, aren't they, for us? And yeah, I think the sooner we get a backup striker to Graben come January, I am fingers crossed that Graben stays fit till January. Otherwise, we are in a terrible shape with Mir up front. He had probably one of the worst performances I've seen, and I'm wearing a Nicholas Bentner shirt right now, which says something at the state of Mir in that game.
So, you've nailed it. I mean, you've nailed it, although I do have a point of contention. So I am going to agree with you about the centre of midfield. And I think we are missing Samba so enormously. Quite why Lamucci didn't reshuffle the pack to... We have other options there. Samba so is undoubtedly our best option. And I know Matty Cash has covered himself in glory at right back, but there are other players that can be moved around. There are other players that can be slotted into that central midfield position or provide energy and the ability to track back. I think you're right. Watson got exposed. And I think that was compounded by the absence of Michael Dawson, who I think doesn't just organise the guys around him in defence, but I think he organises everything going on ahead of him as well. And I think when you're missing two seasoned players like that, Sauer's not been around the block quite as much as Dawson has, but two players at least that know what they're doing and positionally are very aware. And like I said, in the case of Dawson, are organising things that are going on even further up the field, then, yeah, Forest were exposed. I think the point regarding Graben is, I do agree with it, but I'm not yet ready to take Mir around the back of the barn. I think the boy has talent. I really do. And I think he's trying a little too hard right now. I still maintain that once he gets his first goal, he'll get his feet. But whether he'll get that opportunity, I don't know. That being said, though, I also feel like we still need additional cover up top. I don't know that we've gone from having, six or seven strikers on the books to having two, and one of them is questionable. And I don't understand the logic in this situation of having Tyler Walker out on loan. I think Tyler Walker would be getting a look in right now, and I'd like to see him back at the City Ground sooner rather than later.
I'm going to go deeper on this Mir thing. I'm going to give you a list of three players I'd rather have at Forest right now than Rafa Mir. Are you ready? Nicholas Dimitru, Nicholas Bentner, and Rafik Jabbour. I think they'd all do a better job than Mir right now.
You're saying that early on in the season, he looked like a good player, but it was more of a mirage.
So who's worse, Leo Bonatini? Who was worse, Leo Bonatini or Rafa Mir? Because they've both been ineffective at best.
Yeah, but again, how many minutes has Mir had? How many opportunities has he had?
Well, he had plenty of opportunities against Wigan. He didn't put away.
the defence rests, my lord.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man. Mark, I don't know. You kind of sound like you're wanting to support Mir a little bit.
Yeah, I am. Because again, I think he's a young kid. I think he undoubtedly has talent. I think he's trying a little too hard, as I said. I mean, I don't want to keep going back over all ground, but I think he has ability. That being said, we two strikers isn't enough, and you can't. It's not reasonable to say that we're so much rests on the sole shoulders of Graben, and therefore, when Graben's not there, this young kid should carry the front line. I would rather see Tyler Walker back in the fold, and I'd rather see him and Mir splitting time when Graben's not available, or Lamouchi decides he needs to be rested.
All right, so that was a tough one, and we have another tough one to talk
it was,
about.
Can I just say it was brutal? Oh, yeah. I want to say that was the worst performance of the season by a country mile. Even the game against Hull, as disappointing as it was, I mean, it was atrocious. Forrest looked woeful, almost from first minute to last, as far as I'm concerned.
We also had like two penalty shouts we could have got. We'll mention those about Amiobi with all the GBH that he received at that in that game. So, you know, we could have got the 1-1. I was backing us to get it, but... you know, with championship refereeing this so far this season, we really need a miracle to get some points in games like that.
Oh, God, that's my head you can hear hitting the microphone.
All right, we'll get some more mirror references here. Moment. I can't even think of one right now.
So, look at yourself in the mirror.
Ooh, and yes, that's a good one. Okay, Hull City, another loss. Not happy to talk about it, but you guys have some insight on this one as well. Only bright spot really is to see their captain, the original Captain America. He got to play.
Captain America.
America. Oh, my God. Maybe Mirror will be in America for the MLS next year.
It won't be MLS, it'll be USL, even though I like him. I'll still
be lucky to get the Mir LS.
I will say if Austin FC announce Mir as their first signing, I won't be best That's pleased. Fine. So the whole game, first thing I want to say is great home attendance again. Forrest announced, I think it was prior to the whole game actually, average attendance this season, 27,784, which is mental. I mean, that's absolutely astonishing. Jordan referenced the away crowd, which has been incredible. What, over 3,000 at the Wigan game. How many did Hull bring? Like 400 or something?
690.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I saw footage on Twitter today of them going, "You're being mauled by the Tigers."
That was the worst.
You're a grown-ass man singing what is essentially a nursery rhyme. Bloody Nora.
And to be fair, like as much as MLS gets, you know, bad rep, you'd never hear that in MLS.
No.
So that's like the level the Hull City Tigers are performing at is when they got terrible chants like that. I was dying inside.
That's like the baby shark of the championship.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Nice little World Series reference.
It was very nice, obviously, to see some familiar faces return to the lineup after Lamucci's brain fart in Wigan. Mir back to the bench and Graben leading the line once more. And it was an improvement, but not significantly. So, you know what? I just realized Corey has a tiger on the wall behind him.
Oh, I do.
What is going on? Come on, Corey, give us one burst if you've been mauled by the Tigers. Come on.
What accent do you want it in?
It's the Eric Lehigh supporters club right there. He's got his Lehigh jersey, he's got his tiger print, like Captain America himself.
Oh my God.
Underneath the stairs with no air conditioner in here. It's great.
it was an improved performance, but not dramatically so. Forrest just seemed listless right now. It's very concerning. I mean, I know people were laying into Lolly, and you know he was the poster boy last season, so he's got to expect a little bit of heat. But it isn't just Lolly. I would say everybody, with the exception of Brees Samba and Matty Cash, which is maybe why they've been the two picked to go to the club shop,
right.
I'm not covering themselves in glory. We look listless. We look heavy-legged. We look out of ideas. Offensively this year, we've not been particularly sensational, even at our best. And right now, when we're struggling to put things together, particularly in the final third, it really worries me how we're really struggling to join the dots when we get into the final third. So much so that I think in that whole game, we had, was it three shots on target the entire match? And that's very worrying. So back to Jordan's point, we need more firepower. If Graben were to get hurt, it would just compound the issue right now. So I don't know. Did you guys have opinions on why we're looking so devoid of ideas presently?
Do you think, Jordan, that it is a forced time of the year where we've had a lot of success and you have to start putting some of these other players into matches to see what you have, or else they're just going to sit there with their thumbs up their butt and you're like, why are we paying them?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think for me, it comes in two parts, this one. I think firstly, we had such a great start to the season against the toughest fixtures, and now we've come to the, in quotation marks, lighter games, and we're not picking up the points that, you know, all the effort in the first few games came to light. But you raise a good point where these are the games where we also want to bleed in a few players that, you know, perhaps haven't been playing as regularly, because we will need them in the end of the season. 46 games is a long season. But I just feel like we've not got the rotation right the last few weeks. And I think that's the most frustrating part of it. And, you know, perhaps the Wigan game was the Reading game being postponed is a blessing in disguise for us to kind of just reset and go again a little bit. All's not lost either. Like, I think we're being very nitpicky, because I think all of our other previous episodes have been so positive. We're only 5 points off the top. We're 2 points off the playoffs. We have a game in hand. And, you know, a couple of wins again and we're right back on track. I think the most worrying thing for me, though, is the midfield right now. And runners are just not being tracked. And we don't really have enough muscle now. Samba So is missing. Silva gets over in a lot of the time. We've got people coming in that aren't as fit with Bostock and other players right now that, you know, aren't, you know, of the quality that we need at the moment. And whether that's rustiness and them needing to get back up to speed or something else, but that's the most worrying bit for me, is that, you know, conceding goals in transition more than anything else. But yeah, we have lost a bit of a spot going forward too. And hopefully, you know, we can reset and go again. Maybe we changed the team too much and lost a bit of our rhythm that was, you know, plodding along so nicely. But you do need to use your squad at the same time. So can see both sides. It's frustrating. I think we're all a bit frustrated. The worrying bit for me is if, you know, we slide down the table and aren't in the playoffs come December, will Sabri see out the year?
So, and I think you're skirting around a really good point, Jordan, which is we've been spoilt this season.
Yeah.
We've had players come in who we didn't know. We're not talking about players from other championship teams or players that dropped down from the Premier League. We're talking about complete unknowns. You showed up at the City Ground at the beginning of the year, gelled really quickly and individually had great performances, and all of a sudden we're high on life. And it comes back to my Mir comment. You know, Mir's had so little opportunity, and obviously he hasn't made the most of what he's had so far. I will concede that. But players like Mir and Bostock and others who have come in, they get battered on Twitter after one bad performance when they haven't played for, you know, the last time they played was 5, 6, 7 games ago. Yeah. You've got to give these guys an opportunity. That's realistic. That's typically what happens. When somebody comes in, it takes them a game or two to get their feet under them. Being fit and being match fit, we all know, are two completely different things. Playing at the pace of the game, you know, playing with the intensity and the rhythm that you need in order to compete in a competitive championship match, it's a whole different thing. And I think we've got to be patient, and we've got to recognize these guys will contribute something over the course of a season. That doesn't mean we don't need more talent. You know, we've obviously, there's been a lot of turnover in the last few weeks. A lot of guys have left the club. I think there's room for new guys to come in and freshen things up a little bit, particularly as we approach the Christmas period. But let's just pull the reins a little bit. Let's recognize what we've achieved so far is uncommon, and give the guys who are coming off the bench a chance to find their feet and contribute.
And it's time for another Corey's Classic Callbacks, guys. Yay! Are you guys ready for this?
We've got to come up with a jingle. Corey's Classic Callbacks. Now, why am I doing the singing this week? Jordan's our sick. Jordan, you need to you and Tom Wardle need to get your heads together and come up with something.
All right. So who was I just supposed to go get out? It was Jason Lee.
Jason Lee. We can't remember who told you, well, who suggested Jason Lee should be the next guy, because this was about
social
3 months ago.
Yeah, it was. So, it was on social.
So, he's got a pineapple on his head. He's got a pineapple on his head.
I'm intrigued. I have no idea what that's about. but I did see a reference to pineapple. So I was also stunned to learn more about Jason Lee, that he was in the movie White Boy Rick with Matthew McConaughey. And as I read more, that was Jennifer Jason Lee.
I knew you were going to go there.
Yeah. So I did a secondary search on obscure Forest players, and there he is, Jason Lee, And he played in the Premier League with Forest. He played, what, 3 years, 2 years? Stan Collymore left, and that, he got his shot. Is that right, Mark?
Oh, yeah, and he was a perfect replacement. I mean, just a, yeah, one for one. Switch there.
He likes pineapples, and he scored 14 goals in 76 appointments. So that's your classic callback. I couldn't really find anything else and locate any other movies that he did.
He, so. He is most famous for the pineapple haircut. So yeah. He would have his, what do you call those?
Dreadlocks. Almost.
Thank you, dreadlocks. Yeah. Yes, okay. Ah. And he would get a hairband and he would have them up. And so yeah, he had the
understand
pineapple esque type look. Add that to the fact that combine that with the fact that he didn't exactly cover himself with glory when he played for Forest. Yes, he got 14 goals, but. He was Rafa Mir-esque.
Oh, he was a supreme Eugene daddy, I think, is the best way of describing it.
Yeah, but he is nonetheless a cult favourite at the City Ground. And I think you can still see him knocking about the City Ground. I think he's still in and around Nottingham. I think he has a local business there. And I think he shows up at home games occasionally and evidently gets a good welcome when he does. So fair play.
That's too bad. Somebody should go back into his Wikipedia page and put the pineapple haircut on there because the photo is from 2010. And
shaved, right?
Yeah, well, he's 48 years old, so he's my age, and he lost the race. I'm still hanging on here.
So he's got an outstanding middle name, by the way, Benedict. Jason Benedict Lee. Outstanding middle
that
name.
That sounds like something somebody went on Wikipedia and just put in there that isn't true.
Well, that's kind of the middle name for all of Derby's players. They've all been a dick. There we go. We're rolling, son. Guys, let's do a NFFCNA update with Jordan. Jordan, what we got?
Yeah, so I was going to have the big grand revealing of the bar that we are hosting the game at when we're in Nashville, but we're still looking. So we can't quite fully confirm all the logistics, although we've got a few leads that we're hopefully going to follow up on this week so that we're able to kind of cross the T's and dot the I's and confirm the bar. But
one of the rumors I've heard is the place is a 24-hour establishment and they serve waffles.
Oh, really? Yeah.
The Waffle House, right?
Just bring a TV in. Puns.
Yeah. Your jokes are better when they've got puns in, mate.
You're waffling on your announcement. You really have nothing for us this week.
Oh, no.
Oh, burn.
Don't really have much. We're going to try and get our heads together as quickly as possible and get that. If anyone does know of a venue that's willing to host, 50 North American trickies as we all meet up in Nashville in March, then please let us know. And we're trying our best in the background to get it. So hopefully by the next time episode, we'll be able to fully give details on the meetup and everyone can kind of really go ahead and hashtag book the flights.
Hashtag book the flights. And that would be for the weekend of?
March the 21st of 2020. Excellent. Bristol City at home game, I think.
Oh, I'm getting my hair cut that weekend.
Oh, good Lord. You've not got much to cut, mate.
Oh, we're stop playing with yours. One of these days, we need to do a YouTube one of these calls. Jordan doesn't stop playing with his bloody hair the entire hour.
He's looking off to the right quite a bit, too. I don't know what's going on over there.
He's on a short leash, mate. He's on a short leash.
Yeah. It's those girls from the World Series that were behind him.
Oh, all right, we doing our boot bag comp?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's give some stuff away.
All right, fantastic. So this is the boot bag competition that we announced what feels like 100 years ago now. Those of you who listened to our stoppage time, with Jordan Schweitzer and Shane Malcolm, the guys who came up with the boot bags concept, will know that the guys are not only selling boot bags, but they're also trying to do some social good as well, in that with every 5 boot bags they sell, they're going to donate a pair of football boots to a kid in a kind of less fortunate circumstance. Some of them are here in the US, some of them are a little further afield. And when we talked to the lads, they had talked about going on their first mission trip. They were going to go hand out some of these boots that they'd already begun gathering up through boot bag sales. And so who was it? Who was it that took the boot bag to England?
Dan.
Oh, that's right. It'd be Dan.
I'll be damned.
Just messing with you, Dan. Just messing
I'll
with
be
you.
Damned.
Oh, gosh. I got to get through this quickly. So obviously, remember it's Dan that went to the City Ground, took one of the Forest Red boot bags with him, paraded it around the City Ground, got some snaps of the bag in the ground. So the bag has been on sacrosanct ground. It's been in the City Ground itself. And then Dan very kindly went ahead and filled the bag with fun, just as you would with things from Nottingham. So we have this fantastic boot bag that spent time at the City Ground. It's full of Forest goodies. And we decided we would give it away to somebody who could provide us with the answer to, what was our question?
Where are they going on their first mission trip?
There we go. There we go. And the answer, Corey, was?
Jamaica.
Jamaica, man. Yes, it was. So we actually had a bunch of entries come in, and we chose one. I'm not sure how to make
it. Random. It was completely random.
I was going to build this up to something sensational, but we chose one. It was random.
It's completely random.
Yeah, we didn't hone in on a mate. We assigned numbers, drew one out, and the lucky winner of the Nottingham Forest boot bag, Nottingham Forest only by virtue of the fact it has been to Nottingham, Nottingham Forest do not endorse this boot bag in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, good Lord.
Is, drum roll please, Anthony Saxton. Congratulations, right. Anthony. Well done, mate.
Well, the nice thing is we know he listens, so that's a great job there, and thank you for listening to us, and congrats.
Yeah, well done, Anthony. One of the Toronto Trickies. Can we just take a second to reflect on their choice of their first mission? Like, Jamaica.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, the next one I think is St. Thomas, followed by Maui, apparently. So.
Yeah. Next one will be off to Maui, and yeah.
Well, to be fair, Shane has connections to Jamaica, so it's family.
Fair play. And thanks to them for donating one of the bags for us to give away as a competition as well. So
I was gutted we had to do that because I kind of wanted a bag that had been like at the City Ground. That's pretty immense. So.
Well, didn't you buy a red one? Can you not do a little switcheroo?
There you go. Mm. Well, I can't because mine's signed by the players.
Oh, here he is.
As he puts down his brandy glass.
Yeah. Not a big deal.
Governor. So let's see. We got a little bit of predictions to do. We've got two matches coming up. A Luton Town and I don't say that other word. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Can't say it. But here,
it'll
for
be a
these
car
predictions,
crash if you do say it.
Here's what we hope happens before these two matches happen. I really hope they repair the front line and our strikers with some El Mir glue and we hold it together better.
That's weak.
So you guys want to start off the predictions?
So we're away at Luton first, aren't we, on Friday? It's a Friday night. So, again, we're not playing for another Saturday. I need to sort that out. Is it a Saturday? It is a Saturday. I think we're going to win 3-1. 3-1, I think Luton have conceded a lot of goals this season. Or most of their games have been both teams to score or they've not scored. So I think it gives us a chance to get back into the attacking clique. I hope that Sam Bissou comes back. And I think we're going to win 3-1.
I'll go with that. I actually thought 3-1 as well. I think things stack up for us to kind of come out of our funk, and hopefully Luton is our bounce back team.
I'm going to continue with my tradition of having already said my predictions and then not remembering what any of them are. It could be, it's entirely likely that on my actual official predictions, I predicted a victory, but I am actually going to go with a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. Oh, so harsh. Harsh marker.
I know Luton are just one of those weird teams that they can pull it out. They have these odd games where they pull it out and they do something special. Yeah. So as people who listen to this podcast will know regularly, I will never, ever, even if it costs me the league table, the prediction league table, I will never say Forest defeat. So a 1-1 draw is as harsh as I can get.
All right. Can we do this next match without saying the D word? Is it possible? Everybody knows who we're talking about.
The sheep. So,
yeah. You can say sheep. That's fine. Yeah, let's just go with a win here. You got to. You can't have any negative energy going into this match. Yes. And I actually like a 4-2 win here.
Oh, wow. 4-2. The Samba effect's really reducing here. He's conceding goals left, right, and center in all these predictions.
Well, the pitch is going to be unpredictable. It's probably still going to be wet. So.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, so I went 1-1 on my predictions, and I thought that the Sheet would drink drive their way to a fluky draw. I went 1-1, and I feel like if we continue this run, I think it might just be a draw. But let's hope that Luton kicks us back into gear and we get a win.
4-1 to the good guys.
Yeah, boy.
Decent. All right. To the law-abiding citizens.
That's exactly. Right. And we're doing two matches there because we'll be at an international break here again, I believe. Is that right? And there is a break at least.
I want to just say as well, I don't know that they're going to win 4-1. But in the event that they don't win, I have this brief moment where I'm really, really happy thinking about the prospect of them winning 4-1.
Yeah.
So it's worth it just for that brief moment of happiness.
Yeah, no, it'd be good that. We beat them 3-0 earlier in the season too. Yeah. Let's hope we continue that.
Yeah.
That'd be tidy.
All right, guys. Well, that was good. Thank you so much. I hope everybody enjoyed this Forest Fancast. Please get out and support Boot Bags. That bag my daughter uses for her cleats and everything is so awesome. And actually, there's some technology on that bag, Mark, that I don't know if you've actually noticed it, but the way that the hanging loop is, it's not just sticking up, it's actually sticking out so you can easily hang it on top of like the back of a chair. It's pretty good. I like it.
It is very cool. And if you are following Boot Bags, I should say, if you're not following, if you are or if you're not, get on Instagram and check out their posts, because they're getting a lot of traction right now. It's really interesting. A lot of male and female players, professional players, who are using Boot Bags, right, supporting them now, both at pro levels here in the US, overseas, and also internationally as well. So, really, really happy for the lads, for what they're doing in terms of their business, but also what they're able then to do for the kiddos for whom they can then go give cleats to.
Social media for the week too, until our next podcast. Mark has a good interview coming up that we're not going to announce, but it's going to be a doozy. So why don't everybody, if you're tweeting about Forest and enjoying the matches and, you know, talking with your friends on social, just throw a hashtag out there, Boot Bags, just to hit at Boot Bags, and kind of put it out there a couple times. So it takes an army to try and get people to recognize brands as they're starting up. And these guys stepped up to support us as we were starting up. So we're kind of married, and just throw it out there. It's free to put it on your tweets.
Love it.
Yeah, the Fancast effect. Clearly the brand has been, you know, increasing as they've supported the podcast. So well done, guys. I think we're helping them out a little bit here too.
All right, so I'll be in England for 12 days at pubs, guys. And we do have a good replacement that you guys have lined up. And he is also the person that did the amazing song for the Forest Fancast. It is Mr. Tom Wardle.
Yes, get in there. Very, very excited about that.
he's got proper good tones as well. I know he's really going to be by far the best singer on this podcast so far. So excited to have him on board.
Yeah, I can't wait till his rendition of "We're on our way, on our way."
Well, have fun in England, my friend.
We're on our way. Thanks, guys.
Have fun in England and get drunk. All right.
Hey, but we are going to your neck of the woods, and we are going to the two that you suggested.
Good.
The Turf Tavern and the
Eagle and Child.
Eagle and Child. So good, yes, I'll give you a report from there. We're going to be heavy into the bars and shit. So
decent stuff. Look forward to the drunken messages, mate.
Well, the bonfire night.
Call the
number.
You
want me to call the number?
Just call the number. Oh yeah. That'd be sick. Hey Corey. Hey Corey.
Let me tell you what I really think about you two.
You'll be like, Riz, I just chinned somebody wearing a derby shirt.
Yeah, that'd be unreal, wouldn't it?
That'd be great. All right, later, boys. Yes.
Thanks, guys.